the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
So, we are continuing our little walk through the book of James, and today we are going to be in James chapter 3. That is small, I appreciate. If you would like to read along in a green Bible, we're going to be on page 1148, which is James chapter 3 from verse 1, or you can find it in the children's Bibles as well. I'm just going to read that for us, if you take the time to find it, if you want to read along. James chapter 3 from verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by human beings, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this shouldn't be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. It's easy to hear that and go, gotcha, don't swear, don't get angry, keep your cool, move on to the next chapter. And there is some aspects of that that we've seen today in our play that we've read in our verse. That's true, that language is important and being controlled. But I'm hoping we just expand a little bit today as I talk for the next little bit. This summer has been dominated, I think it's fair to say, by football. Even if you don't care about football, I think football has dominated this summer. Not just watching football, but talking about football, being bothered by the politics of football, being bothered by the money of football. It's just been everywhere. But the thing that has stood out for me in my brain for this summer that I find very interesting is this is Enzo Fernandez in the World Cup final, putting an interesting challenge in on a young man whose name escapes me. He's Pau someone. I forget his last name. Someone else will tell me that. He doesn't play for United, so I don't know who he is. Now, that got him sent off in the final. Reasonable. Now, here's another man called Miguel Almiron, who plays for Paraguay. And this got him sent off. Now, this isn't after he's hit someone. This is the thing that got him sent off. And it's important to note that our dear friend Enzo Fernandez, that was actually a second yellow. That wasn't even a red card offence, kicking someone so high in the air that they do a backflip. But putting your hand over your mouth to say something, straight red card. I find that really interesting. I'd like to assure any parents in the room that when we do Friday night youth work, if a child is kicked into the air and upside down, the ramifications are more serious than if someone says a rude word. Okay, that's just how we do youth work here. But James kind of challenges that. He says, no, we're not going to sit on sticks and stones or break my bones, but names will never hurt me. James says, actually, language is really important. And language can be destructive and can be violent. Language can influence and inform people and lead them into places they would not necessarily go. That action can follow language, and our language that we use is really, really, like the language that he uses to describe it in the text, of a spark starting a fire. I mean, how that evokes us, doesn't it, at the moment? Like, of this tiny thing that causes mass destruction. That's what James is saying, that this is as serious and important as it is. So point one, yes, it is important that we think about the words that we say, how we say them, how we use our language. But there's a point two that I'd like us to consider. Quick show of hands, here's a question for you. Who's quite enjoyed singing worship today? Oh, There you go, Ruth. I told you it would be an unequivocal success. I'll be honest, I'm not a sung worship person. I'm a sitting and listening person. I'm not a sung worship person. But I do quite enjoy sung worship. There's something wonderful about all together singing praise, singing joy, singing amazing, amazing truths about God. I thought it would be a fun little experiment. I contacted two of our worship leaders and I said, what's your all-time favourite worship lyric? After many, many, many text messages where I said, no, but one lyric. No, but just one. But one line. One. Okay. Laura managed to get down to this, which is four lines, which is Reaches of Heaven. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not Steve. Reaches of Heaven, starry heights, lights of the evening, dancing in silent skies, brilliance of morning, breaking day. Oh, let them praise him, praise his name. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's powerful. It's poetic. It evokes the heart. Same sentiment, but language matters. I try to like thesaurus it. The sky is high up, there are stars visible at night, the sun rises in the morning. People should say good things about God because of these facts. It doesn't quite land in the same way. Language is important, and language is beautifully important and powerfully important. I asked Jack, I said, Jack, what's your favourite? Jack, absolutely, oh, I loved this. It came so quick, one line, precise, loved it. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. And that got me as well, because that's one of the songs that I've been like, man, yeah, okay. Everything that I know about myself that other people might not, God sees and he loves me the same. Thesaurus time. You have knowledge about the things about me that are internal and not visible to others. This knowledge has no effect on the amount of love you have for me. It doesn't quite scan. It's not as powerful. But language is important. Language matters. And positive language matters because it brings us in praise and towards God. James says, he doesn't just say, stop saying bad things. James says, you are saying good things. You are praising God. That's amazing. And at the same time, you're kind of undoing all of that with the other stuff that we're doing. It's like we're taking the beauty in the poetry and we're just whacking it through an AI filter to make something horrible. And this is the kicker. Not Enzo Fernandez. This is the kicker. Worship isn't just what we sing. Worship is a whole life thing. Romans 12 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So we're not just thinking about the songs we sing. All of our language is worship. All the time, it should be glorifying God, building kingdom, bringing people closer to him. And as I was writing this, I couldn't ignore verse 1. Verse 1 I'm going to read again. It says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Yeah, that's the week I'm going to be at the front. Great. here's hands up. Has anyone said anything they regret this week? let me tell you the things that I've said that I regret this week. Martha asked me how she looked. No. Someone sent me an email, this is true, someone sent me an email where they said, I love working with you, but can we talk about some of the things that you've said in the past? And I had to go, yeah, that's really helpful challenge. And we had a really gracious conversation, but I had to hold my hands up and say, I was in the wrong there. Even worse, I was driving to work on Friday and I got to Morrison's roundabout and I turned right. And as I got onto the roundabout, there was a Skoda in front of me. And I promise you, he was going up 5 miles an hour around the roundabout. And I was like, okay, that's fine. It's okay. And then we came off that road towards the second roundabout where the top Voltivy Road is. And the whole road, he's going at 20. And I'm like, this is a 30 mile an hour road. I really could do with going to work. I'm in a very cross mood today. This is really not happy. And I was like, what are you doing? And I got grumpy and cross in my car. I said that maybe they didn't know what they were doing, or maybe questioned their age, or all sorts of different things. And then I did something really bad. And I flashed my lights at them. And I promise you, 2 seconds later, my dashboard lit up with a phone call. And it said, Doug Owen. Doug Owen's an amazing guy. He runs ICE, who do all the schools work in the city. He goes to ENC. And I went, oh, Doug's phoning me. Hanson, I went, you're right, mate, how you doing? He went, are you in the car behind me? Doug does drive a Skoda. And I said, oh. He said, were you flashing to say hello? No. He said, well, I've just been to St. James. I've been having a prayer walk. It's been a lovely time with the Lord. And I'm like, and I'm so, so grateful for your friendship. We've got to be honest. Sometimes our words they don't go well, and they cause more embarrassment and more hurt than they could. I was dead lucky there that Doug is very gracious. I had to think about when do we do it, and I think, and this is the really important thing, I think we slip up on our language sometimes when we're tired and sometimes when we're cross, but most of all when we think we are in charge. We are in charge in the car, we are in charge online, we are in charge when we're parenting, or when we're with our friends talking about somebody else. We are boss of that situation. What we do is what matters, and no one else can speak into us and hold us accountable. And the problem with that is the root of sin. As soon as we put ourselves at the top, it all goes wrong. The person in front of us at the till, the colleague that didn't complete their part of the task, the little brother who won't shut up, the politician who we can't agree with, they were all made by God and they were all loved by him. And when we put God in charge of our language, when we put God in charge of our interactions, we value that person with our words more than when we value them just with us being in charge. We glorify God with what we choose to say and what we choose not to say. And we do more of the just praising rather than the saltwater, freshwater problem. And there's a second benefit. Genuinely, when we reflect that value that God puts in things, when we talk to people, we also, I think, we deepen our relationship with God because we're relying more on him. It's not easy to always have good language and positive language, but when we do it and we rely on God, it deepens our relationship, it grows us in the spirit, and like Tom and Christine showed earlier, it can be a very gradual bit-by-bit thing, but it's the Holy Spirit that prompts us and moves us along that way. So there's that second benefit that actually we get to know who God is more, and we get to see where our mission field is and who the people are that we're meant to be talking to and showing his grace and his value in their lives. And that's what I want to challenge you with today. I didn't want today to just be a don't say rude words, it's naughty and we'll get told off. And I also didn't want it to be a try hard not to say rude words, because that doesn't work either, because we get tired and we get cross and we forget that we're not in charge. But actually, if we focus on the bit in verse 9 to 11 where James says, you praise the Lord and then you do this. That doesn't work. Do more of the first. Be beautiful with your language. Be encouraging and uplifting. Praise God. Practice that. And then let that flow out to other people. Know your value before God through your language. And then let that language show other people their value before God. And I think by doing that, that's when we get opportunities to change other people's lives, when we get to build kingdom. And that's amazing. What we're going to do now is do a little bit of table time, okay? And what I'd like you to do on your tables, this is the postcard moment. This is a me idea, so if it doesn't work, it's okay. We're going to think about how we could praise God, all the things that we have to praise God for. And maybe you want to make a list of those. You should have two postcards. Maybe on one postcard you make a list of those, all the different things, as a prayer of praise to God for all the amazing things that he's done. So things that have happened, and maybe also things that are promised to happen in the future you might want to praise God for. And then what would be really cool is if on your table you want to talk to each other and say, is there anyone that we know who actually could hear some of these things and it would change them? One of the things I've been really struck by this year is how much of the Bible I take for granted and how many people I meet who have no idea of it. And yet, when they encounter Jesus, it's something different and new and exciting. So, on your tables, have a little chat about what things could we be praising God for, and maybe make a list or write a prayer, and then have a chat about who needs to know this stuff. Is there anyone specific? And then when you've done that, we're going to pray about it. And you're going to have a bit of time on your tables just to pray for those people. And pray to God praise.